Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounge, as your host. In studio this week, Northwest Indiana family Vicky and Jen Kerr, who have taken their collective hobby of restoring old furniture and repurposing items into pieces of art. That's right, repurposing and restoration, turning it into art, is our topic today. They've gotten the attention of Danielle Colby from the television show American Pickers with their new store, Blue Moon, in Three Oaks, Michigan. We're going to get Danielle Colby on the phone on today's show, along with Jen and Vicky. Stay with us. It's all coming up on A Look at the Arts. Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. Thank you for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio. Today in studio with us, Vicky and Jen Kerr. They are Northwest Indiana natives who have taken their collective hobby of restoring old furniture, repurposing items that you might throw out, and turning them into pieces of art. They've in fact turned this into a family business just over the state line in Three Oaks, Michigan, called Blue Moon Vintage Market. Through their imagination, creative methods of restoration, and all these fun things that we're going to talk about today, they've even gathered some national attention from television star Danielle Colby from American Pickers. In fact, Danielle will be joining us later in the show to talk about just why the Kerr's store has attracted her attention. And we'll talk about her line as well. So first, let's bring on our guests, Vicky and Jen. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Now, this is a unique, this show is about the arts, everything from authors to painters to poets. We've never had a restorer or repurposer on. So you are first timers here, because I've come to realize by looking at the pop culture landscape that repurposing has become the hot item right now. So many people are taking basically, like I used to say, trash to cash, you know, junk to art, things that I would throw out. My wife is saying, no, save that. We can make art out of that. It's kind of crazy for me to look at this, but I'm starting to see the trend here. And thus, you are here to talk about the successful journey, how you got into this, how you turned it into a business, how you attracted Danielle. So there's so many places we should go. I guess the first place is how you all got attracted to doing this kind of work.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, kind of like picking has always been my thing. I always, you know, decorated our house when we were younger with just things I would find and repurpose to some degree. So I was always into that type of decor for my home. Mm-hmm. And I would drag Jen around when she was a little girl, kind of kicking and screaming. Because of course, there were other things she would rather be doing.
Right.
But then when she went into college and started to decorate for her own self, that's kind of where she lent herself. And then when she got her first home, this is how she decorated also.
So went to a lot of garage sales and mm-hmm. flea markets and different things, auctions, I guess, then at that time.
Mm-hmm. Is it kind of a retro thing then that you were looking for? What is this called exactly? I mean, because you take a lot of older things and you make things that still look old but are functional.
Or even just finding old things that are getting tossed aside that we can kind of bring back to life and bring them to the market and people can decorate their homes.
I use the word repurpose mostly.
Okay.
Just finding furniture that needs maybe some fixing or a new look to it, which is where the chalk paint came in for us in particular. But everyone's into green right now. They hate to throw things
away. As they should be.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that that's kind of where this is going and why it's been so successful for us.
And we started it all with, I guess, as a therapy project for us a few years ago. My mom was taking care of my grandfather at the house, and we thought it was kind of just he had some pneumonia and he was going to get better, and he didn't. He ended up passing right before the holidays about 4 years ago. So getting through the holidays, we kind of got into the next month, and we weren't getting past it. So I kind of looked at her and said, how do we fix this? What do you need? And through a whole lot of tears, she said, I need a chalk paint class. Had no clue what that meant. So I did my homework, and I found an Annie Sloan stockist in Peru, Indiana. So we went down that Friday, took the class, and that was our therapy through that winter, where we just started painting everything, finding things on everything but the kitchen table, I guess, even though we could have. But we started picking things up on the side of the roads, going to auctions, and through that we reconnected with some people that my mom in particular had known from a while back, and they had stores. And next thing you know, we had pieces on consignment in some shops, and there was a market that had popped up that spring in Three Oaks. And we were a big part of that market for the two seasons that they were there.
So basically, you kind of fed your mom her own medicine back. She used to drag you around as a kid picking.
Gave it
you
back
turned
to her.
Her. Okay. Now, I had never heard of chalk painting until I, through Alice, met you guys.
Yeah.
What is chalk painting? To me, that's chalk. I mean,
a lot of people think that.
Yeah, and that it would wipe off, wash off, whatever.
You write on it and make a chalkboard. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's called chalk paint because it's a paint that has a chalky matte finish. It's basically used as furniture paint. So the design behind it was to repaint furniture or do your kitchen cabinets. But it sticks to just about any surface, and there's no prep work to it. So there's no sanding, no stripping, no priming.
Do you have to put like a coat over it to protect it?
You can. There's a wax
like
finish.
Like a veneer or something?
Wax.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when I think of chalk, I think of little kids on the sidewalk making their little pictures, and they're always some really washed-out looking pastel color. And to me, when I think of chalk, I think of pastels and really lame colors. Now, you're telling me off-air that there's some vibrancy in there. You've got different things. Tell us a little about that. What kind of selections are there?
She has 33 colors right now.
I think 35 now. 35. She just came out with two new ones.
Two new ones. And so she's always developing new color palettes. But basically, her color palette is from Europe because she's British, and she searches the countryside looking for new colors and tones that are of the 18th and 19th country decor in Europe. So our color palette is, I think, extraordinary. It's just rich and vibrant and beautiful, and the patina to the paint is it's fun to work with. It's a great quality.
It's designed to be distressed.
Is it easy to clean? I mean, we talk about oil versus acrylic, and how people like acrylic because it's easier and watercolor. So chalk paint is pretty easy to work with. Anyone can do it?
Anyone can do it.
It's a water-based product, so there's very low VOCs. There's not an odor in it, so that you can paint in your house without a chemical smell.
Environmentally friendly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
And soap and water cleanup. So it's extremely easy to use.
Now, I've seen it on a lot of old furniture, a lot of old wood pieces. Is it adherable to other things besides wood?
Metal, plastic, concrete.
Plastic?
Glass, yes.
Water-based on plastic and it sticks?
It sticks.
Cloth, we've painted some fabrics.
Fabric.
The list goes on and on. It adheres to most all surfaces.
Now, how much chalk painting is involved in what you do at Blue Moon Vintage Market? I mean, you started chalk painting with the therapy thing, and you've expanded. And I've seen things with chicken lights or chicken baskets or something.
Yeah, we do some repurposed lighting right now at the market.
Yeah, the lighting. So, I mean, you've gone way beyond chalk painting.
We have.
It kind of takes on a life of its own right now. We just follow wherever it goes. So.
Okay.
Right now, it's been kind of repurposed industrial lighting is really big.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of draw for that. People redoing old farmhouses. A lot of our customers are out of Chicago, and they're business owners. So we've got some new coffee shops coming in that they're looking for industrial lighting for their locations. So.
Now, we see a lot of the restaurants, and when I say I'm talking like Cracker Barrel or Portillo's, where they have old signs and old-looking things, is that the kind of businesses that are coming to your store to kind of have that Americana look and feel?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I see that more and more everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're getting that stuff. I was like, where'd you find
it? It's picking up. When we first started doing this, I think my dad was the one kind of going, I don't get this. I support it. Whatever you're doing, rock on. Go with what you're doing. I don't get it, but it works. So off you go. So now he's in the garage building lights and
I was gonna say,
has kind of that draw. For
your husband, Roger, is very much a handy guy.
He is.
He can pretty much make. I've seen the little rocking horse he made that you guys donated the shelter and all these things that he can do. How involved is he in the day-to-day with the making of the art and the advising? And, I mean, is he like a third party in this family group?
Silent party.
Yeah, he's just our go-to person. We will buy something. Well, it was about a year ago, we came across a huge windmill head. They're just hot. Everybody loves these windmill heads right now, thanks to the show Fixer Uppers.
Okay.
And so this one was fully intact, and it was one piece. It was 9.5 feet across, maybe 10 foot.
It was really big.
And we wanted
it. 2 hours away from here.
Yeah, 2 hours away from here. We wanted it. It's like, we need this for our market. We have to have it. But the practicality of us actually hauling it home and what we were going to do with it, we didn't have...
We had no means of getting it home.
We didn't have a solid plan.
So I sent him a picture and said, if we buy this, how do we get it to the market? And he said, it's kind of like Field of Dreams. Like, if you build it, they will come. And it's like, if you buy it, I will get it there.
Yeah.
And he did.
He did.
Now, you guys have bought a big van since forming the company. We've and that's been pretty useful.
Oh, it's
extremely useful.
Now, I did see something on Facebook, Jen, where you had like a 14-foot canoe.
I did.
In an 8-foot bed of a truck.
It was actually, it was in the back of the van. So we have the high-rise cargo van like they use on the show Pickers. And we bought a 14-foot canoe and again went, oh, no, here we go again. I knew it wasn't going to fit in the van. The van can do about 10 feet in length. So we had a lot of people at the auction watching us going, what are they doing? So the canoe hung about 4 or 5 feet out of the back of the van, and we just kind of bungeed the doors shut on one
side.
Did
you, like, sit in the back and hold it?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. It was really cold, so left the back open, and it was, what, 10 degrees outside that day.
It was cold.
That could be like a local reality show here, you know, on the road with the Kerrs.
We could definitely keep people entertained for a while.
We've done some really ridiculous things.
Today's episode, The Windmill Fan.
Yeah. We were driving down the road with this canoe, and we'd stop at a light, and she's driving, and she's like, why are they staring at us? I'm like, because you have a boat hanging out of the back of this van, so I'm sure you don't see that every day, and it's bright orange, so.
How long did it take you to go from the therapy end of it to learning how to do this to having fun with it and deciding, okay, we're going to start selling it and then putting it in the local market you first mentioned and then the progress to opening your own?
It was pretty quick, I think.
It was very quick.
The selling was fast, where we just kind of kept meeting people that we had known from before that had their stores, and we were in 3 different stores on consignment in the first probably month.
Well, because the painting was so excessive and we were so, like, dedicated to it and just accumulating so much merchandise, my husband's like, okay, you're out of the lower level now. You've got to have a bigger space. So he put us out in our garage, which is brand new and it's, you know, insulated and very nice. And he put us a heater.
Industrial heating AC unit.
In there. So we moved out there and that worked out really good.
And then you outgrew that.
Then we outgrew that. He's like, all I need is the space for my four-wheeler. That's all I need. So we went high, we went low, we stuffed more, we covered more. So we tried to hide as much furniture as possible.
We would come back from the auctions and cram things into the corner and then throw the tarp over.
So he wouldn't know.
So we thought he wouldn't attention to. We were accumulating a lot of merchandise fast. And
then people kind of heard about it, and they were coming to our studio garage and actually buying from us there early on.
We sold our first couple pieces right out of the garage.
Yeah, which kind of took us by surprise. Yeah.
So at what point did you say it's time to open our own store? And why Three Oaks?
Yeah, well, that's a good story. Yeah. I'll let Jen tell that story.
So we were part of the market that was there in the area that was in the adjoining space to where we're at in Three Oaks. We were there. They were seasonal. They went May through October. They didn't have heat. So we would come in there and drop off all of our merchandise and help them stage. And we just loved it so much that we were a really big part in just being there. We were there the whole weekend that they were open every month and got to know the owners really well, and we're still friends with them. And
Are they still there?
They're not.
Okay, you kind of took over the whole thing.
Somewhat. I mean, we've transitioned into something a little bit different than what they started with, but they had their 2 seasons. At the end of the second season, they decided not to go forward. So the one couple that we're still good friends with, we had lunch with her, and she kind of encouraged us to go forward. The space had become available. Mm-hmm. And she encouraged us to go forward with it, so...
So how big is Blue Moon as far as square footage? And
6,000 square feet.
You think you're going to be comfortable there for a while, or are we going to see another warehouse added in the back?
We have the ability to expand if we choose to expand. So
there's about a 20,000 square foot warehouse attached to where we're at.
Okay.
It's not heated. It's really large, and we've slowly been kind of creeping into that space where we added a salvage room our first season. So it's in that warehouse but attached to our market, and then we've added on a second bay that our vendors can back into the market, unload in that space, and then we lock it. So as we're staging, we tear down and restage the market every month.
So do you still create in your studio at home, or do you have a studio there that you go and work in, and Roger can have his garage back?
A little bit of both.
I don't know if he'll ever have his garage back.
A little bit of both. Mostly, I think, at home. If something needs to be repaired, you know, Roger will repair it at home. And then we also have a handyman that we rely on at the market itself.
He's got a workshop there that the handyman, we can have him help repair our things. And our vendors bring in things that are slightly broken. He fixes them for them, puts them all back together.
So this went from being a showcase of things you guys created to now you're talking about vendors, bringing other vendors in that were maybe in the place you were a couple of years ago that need a place to sell. So this is all done on consignment?
Pretty much. That is exactly how that is.
Go ahead.
I think we have about 25 vendors right now.
Yeah, ranges between about 25 to 30.
That's a lot of people for one store.
It's a lot of merchandise.
Yeah. Some will bring us just a few items a month, and others will bring us a trailer load.
Now, what's the criteria to be able to sell at your place? I mean, obviously, people can't just dump their stuff on you. You are particular, and we have one particular client we're going to talk to shortly. but what is it that, I mean, what is the criteria? How do they get involved?
We do have a clause in our contract that's called not special enough. So if they bring some things in, it's
that up?
Well, we had a little help with it.
That came with experience.
Yeah. That's a real legal term there. You're not special enough. It's
with my legal background there. But it's just kind of a nice way of saying this can't come in the market. It doesn't meet our qualifications, which usually the qualifications are, you know, it can't be broken. It can't be dirty. There's certain items we know we can't sell, like baby dolls and baby cribs and...
Mm-hmm. Even if they're old and vintage.
If they're chalk painted?
Yeah, you have to know. You have really, really good chalk painted baby doll carriage.
But our market's primarily decor.
Okay.
People are coming. They're not necessarily antique collectors, or some dealers do come in and shop for things. But our people are decor people. They want to come in and find something unique for their homes.
One of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be vintage, not retail. Not something that you're going to find down the street at a store, where we stress that with our vendors, that if it comes in and it's got a Made in China tag on the back, it's not going to make the floor.
Okay. So you want people to actually go out, do the picking, and then take it and restore and repurpose these items by hand so they're unique. Each item's unique.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay. You recently started working with Danielle Colby of American Pickers fame. Now, everybody that listens to NPR and PBS knows who American Pickers are, because it's become such a pop culture thing.
Right.
It seems like everywhere you go, you talk about repurposing, American Pickers comes up in the conversation.
Yeah.
Now, Danielle has her own line of things. We've got her on the phone. And Danielle, are you with us?
Hey there.
Hi, I hope you're feeling well. I heard you were a little under the weather today.
Oh, no, yesterday I had the flu.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm doing better today.
Okay. Well, we've got Jen and Vicky here, and we're talking. We're just getting into the part now where you've come to tie in with them.
Hi, Jen and Vicky.
Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
There's a lot of different repurposing type stores around, especially in the Midwest here. What is it about Blue Moon Vintage Market in Three Oaks, Michigan, that really caught your attention enough to put your own line in with them? And I want to talk a little about your line.
Okay. So basically, you just want to know why I have my stuff in Blue Moon?
Yeah. What is it that's so unique about what they're doing here that's different from elsewhere?
Well, okay. I guess I should start off saying that I actually came about meeting Jen and Vicky through my friend Haley. Haley went, she spends a lot of time in Michigan, and she went into their shop and she just went on and on and on about how beautiful it was and how well put together it was and how well thought out the shop was. And so I just became curious about the shop in general. So she brought Jen and Vicky to my house when I was doing a little personal sale. And they came to the house, and we hung out, and they were rad, and we had a great time. They bought some pieces, and I guess that's kind of how it all started.
So there's, like, a reality thing that's like Danielle Colby's yard sale?
But, you know, as a matter of fact, there is. I open my house every once in a while to some close friends.
Okay.
If I want to buy a new costume, because I focus mostly on costuming now, which is why I'm selling a lot of my other collection. I have a lot of other pieces of other collections, but my most complete collection is my costuming collection.
Okay.
So I've decided to focus all of my energy on costuming and kind of lighten up my collection in all the other arenas. And they just happen to love everything I have, so it worked out well. And their aesthetic just lends itself so well to my collection that it's kind of a no-brainer.
Now, what kind of stuff currently does Danielle have on consignment at your store?
A lot of the items.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, things that you'll see on the show that, on the different.
Yeah, you know, there's, the thing is that their place is really nice size, so I can put a lot of my larger props there. So I can put, like, nice big pieces that I can't necessarily display well on, you know, the internet, or that would be more difficult for people to come and pick up. So there's some bigger pieces there. And then there's also some really nice, highly saleable, basic, small antiques that are still pretty rare and kind of get your mind going a bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For the listeners, I just want to point out, if you're on Facebook, you can find Blue Moon Vintage Market. So they've got their own page there. Danielle has her own website, daniellecolby.com. You can find out more about what she's talking of and some of her collections. Danielle, what got you into this whole picking thing?
Mike. I picked since I was a child just because, you know, necessity. I didn't realize it was picking. I just would go to... I was raised in a particularly tight religious community, and so there were, when some of the older ladies that I was particularly close to as a child would pass, you know, a lot of times their husbands or their children would invite me in because I had a strong connection to them. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I started it. So they would invite me in to take pieces that I wanted, and mostly I would just keep everything and hold on to it for memory's sake. And then after a while, they just started saying, help me get rid of this stuff. And, you know, how can I, you know, what do we do? And so I would help out here and there with that. And I think that that's where it started for me as a child.
Now, did you also fix these things up, or did you just keep them because they were cool to keep? Or were you repurposing?
Well,
go ahead.
I kept pieces because they were sentimental. So, like, you know, let's say if there was like a canasta game or a bridge game or... you know, cards I used to play with any of these more mature ladies who had passed. A lot of times I would just keep those for sentimental reasons, but out of necessity, their wardrobing was what I loved. So a lot of times I would take items from their wardrobing and I would just, you know, I'd have to DIY it up a bit and make them fit my body. So that's how I also learned to sew on the sewing machine. So that's kind of where it all stemmed from, was my love for these women.
Mm-hmm.
And then from my love for these women came my love for their clothing. Because, you know, when you have such a tight connection with somebody, obviously their clothing means a lot.
Right.
So I think that's where it started for the most part.
Do you have any of your costuming at Blue Moon? Is there a plan to do that, or maybe a little side room with your costuming?
Well, not at this time I don't, because I'm archiving everything right now. Haley and I are going through and trying to get history on each costume, because a lot of it is burlesque costuming and dance costuming,
which in itself is another pop culture phenomenon. There's a lot more burlesque coming back into vogue again. I see it everywhere.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that if it's done well, is always pretty in vogue. It's and there are a lot of really fantastic artists these days that are recreating some wonderful classic routines, and also creating new routines that feel like they're classic.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is essentially supporting those artists that wanted so much to be in the spotlight, so much to make it to movies and television, and kind of giving them an opportunity through their wardrobing to have their name out there a bit more. So we're trying to find out all the details we can about these fantastic ladies, and at that point when we have all of our information ready,
okay,
and everything archived, I'm sure Blue Moon will probably be one of the first places we'll go to talk about putting on some sort of showing.
Another thing that is trendy again, my daughter and son-in-law have just gotten into it. It involves costuming, and I was wondering if this is a fringe area of what you're doing, is that whole steampunk movement.
No, I don't do anything at all with steampunk, actually. It's not in my wheelhouse at all whatsoever, but There's a lot happening with it, for sure. There's some really interesting steampunk designers. I think there's a television show about it as well.
Right.
No, steampunk is definitely not my flavor. I want true opulence. I want to be ushered back to the 1920s, 30s, and 40s in the most opulent way possible.
Okay.
When I'm looking at burlesque, I just want to see the rich textiles and the dripping jewels, and pomp is everything with costuming, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the steampunk is just too new, you know, and even a lot of these recreations where they take vintage costumes and then pull them into a steampunk look, it's just a very different, in terms of burlesque and in terms of dance and in terms of costuming, just a very different field. But it's really interesting and can be very pretty.
Now, are you working in any way? I know you've got the television background, obviously, with American Pickers. Are you working with your film experience, your on-camera experience, to do something regarding burlesque, maybe a documentary, either for the History Channel or NPR?
Well, we're right now, we've a couple of friends and myself, Caitlin and Namisha, who are very well versed in documentaries. They've been producing documentaries, award-winning documentaries, for quite some time. We just produced a documentary together on the legendary performer Tempest Storm,
okay,
who is such a firecracker and was the original sex bomb of her era. And she started really into the 50s and danced through the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, up to just a couple years ago when she,
wow,
she had an injury. And, you know, she's, I can't give you her age, but, you right, know, she's definitely one of the most opulent ladies out there.
And, she's still with us, huh?
Yes, yeah, she's still with us.
Okay.
I speak with her as frequently as I can. I just talked to her a couple days ago. She's, you know, getting over an illness and is, you know, getting healthy again. But she's doing fantastic and is, it's amazing to talk to somebody who's lived that much life. She was very close with JFK and Elvis and, you know, these fantastic, huge names that you just don't think you'd meet anybody who'd even mm-hmm. been close with folks like that. So it's interesting to hear her stories about the old mob bosses and about Elvis, and, you know, she's fantastic. But yeah, so that one, we just finished up that documentary and we're shopping that around. It's been purchased by some great channels outside of the U.S. And
okay, so nothing domestic yet, though.
Well, you know, the U.S. is very different with burlesque. We're a very religious country, so it's quite taboo here still, even though mm-hmm. you do see it on TV every once in a while or on a movie. It's still taboo, even though it's, you know,
right,
it's such a classic form of dance that's sultry, but by modern striptease, it's quite tame. So it's interesting. It's always fun to work with the taboo subject, you know.
Mm-hmm. So American Pickers, that's still going strong. Are you looking to move on to do more filmmaking and stay with American Pickers, or are you at a crossroads now? What's your career goal at this point, now that you're getting into this new thing?
I'm in it to win it. I'm with my boys. I okay. love them. I support them. they want another season, so I'm treated well. I'm loved. They treat me like a queen, so I have no other option than to hang out and deal with their shenanigans for, you know, however long it takes.
It seems like you guys have a lot of fun on that.
Absolutely. It's the best job I've ever had. I really don't ever want another job. So, you know, I think my life will probably always stay in antiques. It's just where I belong.
Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, obviously, when you have a celebrity line, does Danielle ever come to Blue Moon? Or would you consider coming, doing a personal appearance? Has that ever happened yet?
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about that right now, actually. Mm-hmm. We just had a meeting about that. Looking at spring, Haley says?
Yep. Spring. Yeah. Spring sounds great.
Okay. Well, when you guys get dates, let me know so we can let people know.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we have to have Jen and Vicky back to the house so that we can.
Sounds good. Anytime.
Over some wine.
Wow. Danielle, I would love at some point to be able to do a full show with you if we can get a hold of Haley and maybe schedule something to talk more in depth about the whole retro burlesque type thing that's coming back together. Again, I've sure. seen so much online about it. And, you know, I go back to the 50s are a big part of my life. I'm not quite that old, born in the 50s, but the whole 50s culture and the 40s culture with the big hair and the film noir and,
yeah.
and the burlesque. I mean, I found that such a classy era. And
well,
I would,
you know,
go ahead.
It was such a beautiful, classy era in so many ways. I mean, I wouldn't want to go back to the 50s being a modern woman, but it's always interesting to step into one of the costumes mm-hmm. and just kind of escape back to that era. Like, I wear Tempest Storm's earrings on stage, and it's like the biggest, most exciting thing in the world. She,
wow.
you know, earrings that she handed to mm-hmm. me, she gave me herself. So, you know, yeah, of course, I'm totally open to that. We could probably get Tempest on there, too. You could talk
that
to
would be great.
She'd have some stories.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Going back to what you just said about the earrings, I have a friend that's a performer and does show tunes and things, and he actually has a red kerchief that Frank Sinatra gave him, and he wears it on stage, and he says he gets this juju from it, that he can
yeah,
always perform
true.
Well. Do you feel the same?
Absolutely. I make costumes, and I love the costumes that I make, but when I get on stage in a costume that's already been on stage, it already has that provenance that, you know the history of, you've seen the photos of the dancers who came before in this costume, there's a haunting air about it that really, not only does it lend to a better show, I think, to the audience, but it also helps the dancers that really get into it more. I don't know. It's haunting. I like haunting things. Anybody who likes antique has to like haunting things, right?
Right. Okay, you're in what, your eighth or ninth season now of The American Pickers?
Nine?
Wow.
We're going into nine right now. We're signing on for our ninth season coming up here. So I've grown up on TV.
There you go. Well, keep up with Danielle on History Channel's American Pickers, along with Mike and Frank, and their continuing adventures into their ninth season. And again, DanielleColby.com is where you can find out more about American Pickers and everything else you need to know about Danielle. And we'll wind up getting the show together here and talking with Tempest and you and Burlesque, and we'll just go down a complete different path with that show.
Perfection.
All right. Anything you want to close with before we let you go?
Yeah, head over to Blue Moon, man. They're people you want to give your money to. You know how you go into a place and you just love the people and you love the aesthetic and you just want to spend there? It's a cool place. I like it a lot. It's one of those places that just, you'll see when you walk in.
All right, sounds good. Thank you very much, Danielle, for joining
us. All right,
thanks Danielle.
All right, Danielle Colby.
Bye, girl.
Bye.
American Pickers, like I said, where you can find her on the History Channel and... just so much stuff she's got going on.
She's a busy girl.
I'm looking forward to the appearance that she'll be doing. Now, you don't have a date. It's just sometime in spring of 17.
Right now, we're talking about spring. We're hoping to get her for like a date maybe in spring when her schedule kind of slows down a little bit. And we're going to do more of a question and answer.
I'd be happy
to
moderate that.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be so much fun.
You know, yeah. Because it's spring and because, I mean, you got a big building, but mm-hmm. I think there'd be a heck of a turnout.
Yeah,
so maybe do it outdoors.
The weather would be better. No, we would put her inside.
Do it inside?
Sure. So, yeah.
Okay.
So we have a really large industrial garage door that opens up. That when the weather cooperates, we can open that up and spill out into the parking lot. So that kind of makes
it. Now, she was talking about the big items in her collection. What does that mean?
Well, big as in big in size. Big in size. I think the most fun piece that we had picked up the first time was what we called the baby face.
Is that mask that
the
we used?
It was like,
yeah, it's like gargantuan. You two are sitting in front of it, and you're dwarfed by it.
It's fiber. It's made out of fiberglass. And she picked it up in
New Jersey.
In New Jersey. We think maybe it came from Atlanta City or something.
It was found in a junkyard, but
But it was fabulous, and we absolutely loved it, and sold it right away, actually. But
oh, that's gone already?
Oh.
I wanted to go see that. I thought, that's such a cool piece.
They would send us pictures. So when they come back from production, the items that Danielle picks go to her storage units in Iowa.
Okay.
And they'll send us pictures of what's there, and then her sister will coordinate with us, or we can go meet her there at the units to take back what...
So a lot of the stuff we see on American Pickers actually winds up with you guys.
It does.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Last week was a new episode. Last Monday, I guess almost 2 weeks ago now, was a new episode, and they had an Amazonian tiki head from an Amazon tiki boat that was, she had picked it, and it just aired, and we have it. So we had it for our Christmas market, so he ended up with a hat, a Santa hat, and
is that
some
still
garland.
There?
It is still there.
Wow. Now, also in the picture that we ran with the promo for this, you have an old movie poster, a large outdoor movie poster with Joan Fontaine. Do you get a lot of that vintage Hollywood type stuff?
From Danielle, we do.
Yeah.
And those are her posters.
Because that's my wheelhouse.
Oh,
I love that stuff.
We have quite a few out of her collection.
Okay.
And they were on an episode, I believe, last season or the season before. So she kind of...
I've got a vintage Elvis Charo poster that from the outdoor thing, you know, and I've got a few reprints of the James Dean films and things, but I'm kind of into the Hollywood thing.
If
lot.
You guys ever get any Universal Monster
this
or
is Dan.
Movie pictures, yes. Oh, sorry to jump in like this. I got excited. I will take those for sure. I'm way into the
You're
Universal.
You're into Universal Monsters?
Oh,
are
my
you really?
Gosh. Love them.
4 years I've worked with him. Never knew that.
Really?
I still have a lot of the original models. Remember the models?
Oh really?
And they're made. I do exhibits with them.
I need to see see those. That's awesome, Tom.
I put them in library cases for Halloween.
We're finally connecting.
We are. I've got a life mask of Bela Lugosi and Karloff, and we've got all kinds of fun stuff.
That's amazing.
I got a friend that does Hollywood makeup stuff.
I know you.
We
got to
bring him in if he ever finds time.
And that warehouse, right, with all that stuff. Ooh, very cool.
So that was Dan.
Bye, everyone.
But so you get a lot of Hollywood stuff, you say, from Danielle?
From Danielle, we have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw those big film reels. Now, are those actual reels from a movie house back in the day?
They were. She had picked those when they were in, I want to say, Gibson City, Illinois, on a pick with the boys. I think she might have been with Robbie. And it was a family-owned outdoor theater.
It's an old drive-in.
Drive-in that they had picked. And she came across those film reels. And we loved them. So
they're even carved with, I think it says Harvest Moon Drive-In.
Wow.
Was on them. And they had tape on them with the movies that had last shown. I think it was like Fast and Furious or something was written on tape on the one. And we posted that. That was going into when we first featured Danielle's merchandise at the market.
In October.
So she's just come on board with us for the last couple months.
Mm-hmm. So she's relatively new to Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the adventure's just starting.
Just starting. It's going to be we're hoping to make it a long-term positive experience.
Yeah.
So far,
it sounds like she is
wonderful.
Too. She sounds very excited about your shop and, you know, even possibly going into the clothing and the outfits that she's working on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole new dimension for us, and we're really excited about it. So.
Now, Three Oaks is kind of an artist-type town. It's got the Acorn Theater. It's got that other little movie.
Vickers,
that's the one. Mm-hmm. Why is that? I mean, what's the magic of that town that this is so successful there, that you keep growing, as opposed to doing it in Merrillville or Gary or Portage?
I think it's the location. We're so close to New Buffalo and Sawyer, and that whole area is growing. Southwest Michigan, Harbor Country, people go there for the wineries and the breweries.
So is it got more of a bohemian-type crowd that likes the antiques
it's
and the wine?
It's kind of a getaway area. Okay. A lot of people who just want to kind of get away and still have the lakefront. It's easy to get to. It's accessible. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think when Chicago people, and ourselves included, go up to Wisconsin, it's just so traffic.
It's very commercialized now, too.
Yeah, very commercialized.
Wisconsin Dells is not the Wisconsin Dells I experienced as a kid.
Yeah. Or Great America.
It's all water parks now.
Yeah, so, it's a different.
So Michigan's the new escape place.
It seems to be. There's so much to do in that area that, besides just the beach, where there's different.
Now, from Northwest Indiana, when I say that, I mean like Hobart, Portage, Merrillville. It's about, 45 minutes? Maybe an hour tops?
Now, we live in Indiana. Yeah. We're over by the Michigan City, Westville area, and it takes us 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think it takes us 45 from Hobart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not far. People say, oh, my gosh, you're going all the way to Michigan.
Why did you go to Michigan?
Yeah. I had that when we posted. People were saying, like, why are you talking about something in Michigan? Because we're closer to the Michigan border here than we are to the Illinois border, when you think about it.
It's really the same distance for Northwest Indiana to go to Chicago as it is to go to Southwest Michigan. It's just a different direction around the bottom of the lake.
Now, how much do you, obviously by credit cards and things you would know, how much of your market, your audience, is Indiana versus native Michianans or whatever they're called?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
The Michigan locals?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would say that probably 60% of our market is Chicago-based.
Okay.
And then
they come all the way from Chicago out here. Mm-hmm. So Northwest Indiana is nothing.
I wouldn't say it's nothing. It definitely impacts us directly. Okay. But
for the people that truly enjoy the vintage market feel and they want to go find the items, we've had people hit the door on Friday morning when we open and the parking lot's full when we pull in and they're like, do you have a restroom? I just drove 6 hours to get here.
Wow.
Like, well, where did you come from?
Well, I think that's the other thing that we haven't talked about is that we consider ourselves a pop-up market. So we are only once a month. We're not open all the time.
Okay.
So it's that anticipation of the once a month.
So one day a month you open?
One weekend a month.
Oh, one weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's usually the fourth weekend of every month.
I didn't know that. I thought you guys were just closed like Christmas season and you open for the spring for 3 months and take
There's
a month
no such thing as closed, Tom.
We're not working.
We do get that question a lot, though, where people say, you're open once a month. What do you do with the rest of the month?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well.
We go picking.
We go picking and painting and restoring and it's full time. It's
so is it a certain weekend of the month, or like the third weekend? Or
fourth
weekend?
Weekend of the month. So.
And that's clearly posted, I hope, on your Facebook page.
It is.
It is.
Yeah,
so
we've
people
got our
don't drive out and say, gosh, they're closed
for
3 months.
Well, we still have that, too.
Yeah.
Why aren't you open today? Or they'll call, I'm here. Why aren't you here?
Given the buzz on the place, would you consider opening a second weekend a month?
We've talked about
it. Yeah, we have talked about it. But quite honestly, to do what we do and to do it to our expectations and the way we want to present the market, it takes us that long to rebuild it every month.
Find the merchandise.
Find the merchandise that's unique and interesting and unusual.
The other thing with our market, too, there's, you know, pop-up market is kind of a new trend right now where everyone has these pop-up vintage markets. And the difference with ours, it is once a month. Location's the same year-round, but it's a stylized market. So the merchandise that everyone brings in is stylized together throughout the market. There's no individual booth spaces.
Okay.
So a lot of people will call us and say, you know, I sell soap. Can I rent a booth? And it's completely different than that. We don't have that kind of merchandise there. So it takes us, we take about 60 to 80 hours a month of restaging the whole place.
How important is staging? That's a word I've heard lately, too. Yeah. When you're selling a house or setting up a store, everything's staging and feng shui.
Feng shui.
These are all like terms I'm learning from my wife,
who's
like
good.
Reading all these, you know, home and garden things.
Then you're going to want to learn vignette.
I think we've learned with staging in particular that we can have, I don't know, let's say a sap bucket set out somewhere and it's there for the month and it doesn't sell and people miss it. And then the next month you put it on a table as a centerpiece with some fresh flowers in it and people are fighting over it.
Wow.
So, and that's part of the staging where you give people the idea of where they can put these items in their home or their business or what have you. So I think it makes a big difference on... Hmm. And luckily for us, we have an interior designer that's a really good friend of ours. It's Hattie Smith. That comes in, and my mom and I move all the bulk heavy pieces around every month.
Mm-hmm.
So we have moved some really heavy items in the last couple of years, get everything in place, and then Hattie comes in and just kind of helps us finesse and tweak everything and
gives us that polished look.
Yeah. So when you guys go picking, is it a family affair? Does Roger drive the van and you guys ride shotgun, or how does that work?
Sometimes. He's usually at home taking care of horses while we go out and we pick, but they just went picking together. In Upper Michigan.
So he's kind of catching the bug a little bit?
He's better than he realizes what it is. And so when he gets out there, he really kind of gets into the groove and does a really good job. He's got a very good eye. And now that he's making things for the market under his own private code.
He's a vendor now.
Okay. He's a vendor. He's taken a whole new appreciation for what he's looking for. Mm-hmm. He's been making some incredible industrial lights. Because he welds, and he makes beautiful, beautiful pieces for us. So,
what's the most bizarre thing that you have sold?
Oh, good question.
That you didn't think might
it's
be an item?
It's a monthly question.
Every month there's something that comes in, and we place bets on, is this going to sell first? Or who in the world is going to buy this thing? And it goes every month.
Every month there's something unusual. And that's the interesting thing, too. We never know what's going to come in. So we never know what creative avenue we're going to go into every month as far as setting the market up, depending on the merchandise, you know, that comes in.
I guess one of the unusual things that we recently sold, we were at an auction and they had some antlers and that sort of thing there. Mm-hmm. And I was on the bid on this row hunt at this table, and it was mainly antlers and bones, and which normally I don't go for, but it was a deer pelvis where somebody took antlers and screwed them into the sockets, the hip sockets. So it looked like kind of a prehistoric, you know, skeletal creation. And I got it there. And the joke of that month was, if you can guess what this is, you know, we'll give you a discount or something.
Mm-hmm.
And people were, I mean, just studying this thing, trying to figure out what kind of animal had this kind of skull to it. And finally, look, I got some guy that just kind of came up and smirked, and he's like, I know what it is. It's you know, deer pelvis art, and I have to have it. So
wow.
I was surprised that not only did he know what it was, but he bought it. So I thought we'd have it for a while.
Now, does the price you get on some of these items surprise you?
It does.
It does. It does, and pleases us.
Yeah. We always try to pick with the customer in mind. So our goal with the entire market is to keep our vendors happy and keep our customers happy. So
you have a lot of repeat customers then.
We do.
You get
we
to
do.
Know them.
Yeah, we've made a lot of friends through our regular customers. That
and their families.
They
and
feed us during the market weekend. They bring us muffins and cookies and and their kids and their families.
They bring you their kids?
Well, yeah.
Here, we're going to drop them off and go to the
movie. They leave them at the counter and off they go. We've watched a stroller or two at the counter, but it's been interesting, just the repeat customers that come back through. And now with our picking in mind, too, we know we have, you know, names for some of our customers. Oh, the industrial couple, they would love this. And mm-hmm. we keep mm-hmm. people like that in mind, that we think of things that they might be interested in. But with price points, we always try to make sure that if we can buy it more affordable, we can resell it at a good price range, right, where it's not sticker shock when people walk in. We try really hard to make sure that's a priority.
Now, one of the things, and again, I have not seen it, but I've heard about it, was these chicken things that you made into lights.
They were chicken feeders.
Chicken feeders, that's yeah, mm-hmm. it.
Right.
Now, I guess you had like a string of them or something. You got like a bunch of them and turned them into lights. Who would think of that? I mean, whose creation was that?
I think it was just a combination of the two of us and my dad.
That's just kind of crazy. I thought, what?
Pinterest is very handy, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I will give some credit to Pinterest, that you find some ideas on there, and you wake up in the middle of the night and can't sleep, and you play on Pinterest and Facebook and Instagram and see what other people are doing. But the chicken feeders, we got them at an auction. They were just these wire baskets. Circular baskets that we brought him home and said, make me a light.
You know, ever since Alice has fallen in with you two, my garage is full of like old rusty bird cages that she insists will be art one day.
Yes, those will be great lights.
Because when I retire, I'm like, I got to live with these things till then.
She has a plan for you. You're not aware of yet.
I think so. I'll be right alongside Roger there, losing my garage.
Yeah.
But now, when is the next open weekend?
January 28th and 29th.
Okay.
So January, February, we just do a Saturday, Sunday. So mm-hmm. we're kind of praying to the weather gods that we don't get snowstorms on those 2 weekends. So
the other weekends are 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then in the summer, we add on and do Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, and Labor Day weekend as well.
What is the typical client or customer? Not the vendor so much, but the typical person that walks in. Do you do mostly corporations like we were talking about with restaurants that want to do the Americana look? Or do you get a lot of just common people walking in saying, that'd look great in my den?
Yeah. It's a mix.
Primarily, the second homeowner is our market right now in Southwest Michigan. It's the Chicago market. Yeah, a lot of interior designers, mm-hmm. A lot of builders are starting to find us because we have a lot of salvage and old wood, and they're using those for their build-outs.
Restorations.
In their homes that they're building. So
a lot of shiplap, a lot of porch flooring, old barn doors.
What?
You don't watch Fixer Upper, do you?
No.
Shiplap is the old wood that they would use on homes and barns.
Okay.
And that sort of mm-hmm. thing. It's
I had a friend who used to collect vintage glass from old, like, turn-of-the-century houses that was mm-hmm. a certain kind of the way they made it. Mm-hmm. It had bubbles in it and stuff. And they would save those. And the frames they came in. And they had, like, a room full of windows. I'm like, you're going to put them in somewhere? No, this is the
you
art.
Do something with those?
Yeah. So it just,
he was
a
collector.
I'm a pack rat. I do the celebrity stuff. And I've got, a lot of weird things, too, in many people's eyes. But some of this stuff just blows my mind. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
There is that, too.
Why would you want that? And why would you pay that kind of price for it?
We have the husbands that follow the wives through right now. And mm-hmm. you can tell the wife is the one that wants to be there, and the husband's just kind of accompanying. And sometimes there's some eye rolling, and they come to the counter like, I'm buying that for her. I don't know what she's going to do with it. And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, I have plans.
It's kind of how I felt when I picked up the birdcage and says, really?
Yeah. You have to have a vision.
Yes. Wow. What's next? What's the growth plan from this point? You've got Danielle on board. You're going to do a personal appearance mm-hmm. in spring. Again, we're talking about maybe opening a second weekend. What is the next year plan?
Well, we just feel it's going to be big. We're not exactly like...
We never know what's going on.
We just roll with it is what... It's very organic, and it just kind of keeps evolving into itself.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't wake up one day and say, let's own a vintage market. We just didn't do that. Wasn't our goal in life. It just evolved into it. And so we just keep rolling with it as it goes. But this year we feel is going to be our biggest year yet. And each year has been a wonderful increase for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The goal is to keep the quality as high as what we've been able to do. And every month when we finish staging, we always have a term, this is the best one yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best one. So as long as we can keep saying that after every month of staging before we open our door, that's what we want to do.
Okay,
so
keep those people that aren't special enough out.
Keep the items.
The merchandise.
The merchandise.
The people are always special enough.
People are always.
Got to have the people to have the market.
We have a fantastic client base. We've been closed now for like 5 or 6 weeks, and we're rested and ready to go, and now we're starting to really miss them, and they're starting to contact us. And
yeah.
So we're getting
ready to get back at it.
Yeah. So Sunday we're going to start tearing things down and getting back at it.
Restaging.
Very good.
Okay. Now, some of the stuff, like you said, the 29 vendors approximately?
Between like 25 and 30 right now.
Do they come and take their stuff back out after that weekend, or do they leave it there?
No, they leave it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They can leave it. Their responsibility is to get the merchandise, make sure it's clean, it's not broken. If they restore some things, we have some vendors that do a lot of restoring, and they do an amazing job.
Amazing.
Some people just like to pick things and
now, do you limit them on how many items? Say I'm a vendor, and I bring in 50 items, and you are really hot on 25 of them, not so much on the others. Mm-hmm. Do you let me bring them all in? Do you just take the 25?
We do. On occasion, there might be that one or two not special enough. We rarely have to use that clause, but mm-hmm. or things that just don't fit.
I like that clause.
We like to think it's a less insulting way of
Dan, that's the way we're going to start doing things here. It's going to be, you want to be a guest on the show? Sorry, you're not special.
You're not special enough.
That topic's not special enough.
I like that. I like that
it's
a lot.
It's fairly polite.
But again, I don't think we ever touched on the fact of how you came up with the name Blue Moon. I know we talked about why you went to Three Oaks, but why Blue Moon?
I think we were trying to think of a name that was, it had a good sound to it, and that kind of touched on what we do. And Beans were only open like once a month. What happens once a month? Well, the moon comes up once a month.
Once in a blue moon.
We just kind of went with Blue Moon.
Okay.
It was a very important lunch that we had one day.
And with some friends.
With some friends, our designer and another friend, and we were up in Grand Rapids shopping and still kicking the idea around of, are we going to do this or not? And mm-hmm. it was December, and if we were going to do it, we were going to sign the lease January 1st. So the four of us were at a restaurant in Grand Rapids kicking these ideas around, and I think you were the one that came up with, mm-hmm. let's do Blue Moon. So then we all kind of collectively decided that was a great idea, and then it was like, okay, we have a name. Does that mean we're doing this? So... So we did. So a few weeks later, we signed the lease and got our name. And
what's been the biggest surprise? I mean, you're obviously starting a new business. It's, you get a little trepidation there. Like, are we making a mistake?
Oh, gosh. That's every day.
You clearly put thought into this.
Mm-hmm.
What's been the biggest surprise?
The radio's one. Didn't think I'd be sitting here on a radio station today. But I would say Danielle's merchandise coming in.
Danielle's been a big surprise for us.
Now, Haley walked into the store. She said, just happenstance?
Mm-hmm. Haley and her boyfriend, Jason, mm-hmm. came in to the store in April. And April was like our biggest market going into that weekend, where the police had to come and direct traffic out on the road, that people literally parked their cars on the main road. And that traffic goes 50, 60 miles an hour. They parked in both directions and completely blocked the traffic flow. Where we found out later, people in town thought that there was either an accident, that they were diverting traffic.
They didn't realize the Kurs were in town.
Yeah. Well, we didn't either, I guess. But it was just a crazy, crazy weekend that I don't know how that happened. It just was crazy.
And you realize when Danielle comes, it's going to be more of the same times 10.
We hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, Haley popped in that day, and it was the end of that weekend, the last day, kind of last 45 minutes of the market, and we were all just kind of joking about, how did all this happen? The ejector pump had malfunctioned in the restroom, so that was a problem that weekend. And we had quite a mess going in the back that it was just the volume of people that came through that weekend that we weren't expecting. But Haley came through with her boyfriend at the end of that Sunday, and I was talking to them about
it. Did you know who she was? Did she introduce herself then?
After a while.
Or
after? I talked to them for about 15 minutes on a really rare item that we had in the market. It was... Mm-hmm. It's gone now, but it was made out of rattan, which is kind of like a wicker,
mm-hmm.
and it was an ottoman.
Just checking.
Just making sure. It was an ottoman that was like a, I don't know, a cat, where it had a head, and the teeth were bullet shells, and it was just a piece where you just loved it or you hated it. And that was kind of the conversation I was having with them. And after a while, she came up and said, I'm Danielle's assistant. We're looking to downsize her personal collection. I think this is a great fit. She was doing some of the pop-up markets where she would rent the booth space and come in.
And since you don't have booth space.
Yeah. Well, and that for her, it didn't work because she'd have to be there selling her merchandise, and everyone wanted to take her pictures and talk to her.
Right.
So it was more of a meet and greet for her than it was downsizing her inventory. So this kind of came into our brains, I guess, back in April.
All right.
So they finally left, and we kind of looked at each other going, what just happened? What is going on right now? So we sat on it all summer, didn't tell anyone because we didn't want to jinx it. And then they got a hold of us in August, and we've been...
All right. Well, Blue Moon Vintage Market on Facebook is where you'll find you. Thank you. And again, you're opening this month, January
28th and 29th
in Three Oaks, Michigan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Blue Moon Vintage Markets. And thanks to Danielle Colby. Watch for a show with her coming up in the near future. Blue Moon.